If you will, this morning, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Now, we have some visitors here, and I don't know how they knew about my name, nickname, and stuff, but ever how y'all found out, whatever's been said about me, probably true. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped out of the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had been often seized him, and was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke those the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we're here this morning. We are assembled together to worship you. Lord, we pray and we ask that you open our eyes of our understanding, that we might be enlightened this morning. Lord, our prayer is that if there's someone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, this morning your Holy Spirit will touch them at the point of their need. Lord, that they might come and receive you as Lord, simply by faith, trusting in you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you touch all of our hearts. Lord, if there's a decision we need to make, Lord, this morning we might make it. And God, will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. This man met Jesus Christ, and when he met Jesus Christ, he was never the same way again. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That simply means all of us were born sinners. And the Bible tells us that if we want Jesus Christ to come into our life, we must ask him to come into our life by faith, trusting him as Lord and Savior. And when we do, he gives us eternal life. Now, this is a picture that the Bible tells us that shows what Satan can do to a life and what Jesus Christ can do to a life. They played Amazing Grace as part of the song. Oh, that's a beautiful song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the story of this demon-possessed man. It's a story that magnifies our Lord and Savior and the amazing grace God has for each and every one of us this morning. Did you know that God loves you and He wants you to come to Him and give your life to Him that you might have eternal life? He came and died, like Brother Bill said, on an old rugged cross. One who knew no sin died for us who were sinners. Now, in this first scene that we see here in the Bible, there was a man that Jesus saw. The Bible says he was a naked man. This is a classic example of the presence and the power of Satan, sin in Satan in our life. We're unclothed, we're ugly, and we're naked without God's salvation in our life. Sin will degrade a man to the point we see here. Sin will take the innocent man and make him guilty. In the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, there was Adam, there was Eve. They had fellowship with God. They walked and talked with God. Sin was absent. But in that garden, old Satan came and he tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned. They disobeyed God. The innocent became guilty. The pure will be impure. Sin will take the clean in our life and make it unclean. The moral and make it immoral. And that is a picture of what sin does in our life. It's a picture of what sin had done in this man's life, this demon-possessed man. And contrary to what the world says, sin always lowers a person down. It never lifts a person up. Sin always lowers you down. It'll never lift you up. It'll take one from the top and put him on the bottom. I wonder, how low can we go? How low can America go? You see, sin always deforms a man rather than reforms a man. That's what it had done in this man's life. He was living in the tombs. Satan promises the good life, but he only gives you the bad life. Satan is here to ruin your life. The Bible says, amen, brother. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's exactly what he wants to do this morning in your life. He wants to ruin your life. Some of you here, you may have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the devil will come and tell you, just wait a while. Not today. Don't do that today. It's not a good day. Some other time. Anything he can do to get you from trusting Christ, he will do it. You need to make up your mind. Who do you want to serve? Do you want to serve God or you want to serve the devil? Remember, the devil wants to lower your life. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to kill you and destroy you and lead you to a place called hell. That's what Satan does. Now here we see the lowering of this man's life. And it's all because he was following what the devil had controlled him. This man didn't live in a nice, warm, comfortable home. The Bible says he lived in a cold, dreary tomb. Now, who in their right minds lives in a tomb, in a graveyard? But that's exactly where the devil wants you to live. We also see how he lived. Filthy. He lived a filthy life. He looked filthy. He was like a senseless man. The devil had robbed him of all his modesty. He was living naked. All his decency was been stolen away from him. I wonder sometimes how he started out. The Bible doesn't say, but the Bible says he was a man that lived in the tombs. He was controlled by the devil. He was demon-possessed. You see, Satan and sin will take a person from the happiness of life to the horribleness of life. That's exactly what he wants to do this morning. He wants to take you down the wrong path. The Bible tells us plainly there's two roads. One road wide that leads to destruction. The other road narrow that leads to eternal life. There's two ways you can go this morning. You must decide. I can't decide for you. Your parents can't decide for you. Your children can't decide for you. You must make that choice yourself. Now, which way do you want to go? You see, sin will dominate a person. Look at verse 27. And when he stepped out of the land, there he met a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. Oh, a long time. He had been driven to and fro by these demons in his life. For a long time he had followed the ungodly in his life. Satan had pulled on his life and pulled on his life till he was at the very bottom of life. He had no friends. The people in town didn't want to have anything to do with him. He is out in the tombs. Someone has said, sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And that's this man's life. Sin had a hold on him. Now, I met people a lot today that say, well, preacher, I never meant to be doing the things that I was doing. It just seemed like it drug me lower and lower and lower. Many a person wishes they had laid down the bottle before it took control of their life. Many a person wishes they had never started taking the pills that they take now or the drugs that they take. Many a person never intended to get this low. And I'm certain if you asked this man, he would have said, no, I never intended or I never thought in my life I would be living in a graveyard. You see, you're here this morning and you don't intend to ruin your life, do you? None of us ever intend to ruin our life. We want the best from the time we're young. We want to do something with our life. And yet, if we do not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Satan will feed you all kinds of lies, and he will pull you down and pull you away from all goodness. I grew up a long time ago, seemed like. Small town. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody was kin to everybody just about it. I can remember going to the school. We had first through the fifth grade in one room. That totaled about five people. That's small, isn't it? We had sixth through the eighth grade in another room. That totaled maybe six people. And then high school went to Rusk, Texas, as high school students. But growing up in that small town, I can remember we had a stage and we had a community center, and the school would put on programs every year. And all we were country. We sing songs like, "Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. Come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee." That was a good song, amen? "Beautiful dreamer, awaited for me." We sing those kind of songs. And we would do kind of programs, school programs. My old Kentucky home. Oh, we liked them songs. How many of you remember those songs? How many of you don't remember them? Oh, okay. Some of you are real young. But you know what? They were written by Stephen Foster. Stephen Foster was a great writer in those times, 1853, when he started writing. He died at the age of 37 with 38 cents, they said, in his pocket, killed in an alley in New York drunk. He had all the ability to make people happy. And the songs he wrote were happy songs. But his life took a downward turn. You see, the devil always pulls us down. Now, that's what sin will do to a person's life. They may seem to be happy on the outside, but inside, there's turmoil. Inside, there's ugliness. But you know what? I'm glad the story doesn't end there, for the Bible says in 28, this man met Jesus. You know, when Jesus meets a person, he's never the same again. Amen? We see a life that's transformed. Jesus Christ is a transforming master. He's not like the devil. Now, Jesus transforms a life. Immediately, Jesus commanded the demons to come out of this man. And the Bible says the demons came out. Jesus set him free from those demons. Did you know you could be set free this morning? All those chains that the devil has bound you with, all those things in your life, all those sins can be forgiven this morning. What others couldn't do, Jesus did. Someone said, you know, sin deforms, education informs, prison reforms, but only Jesus can transform. You see, Satan comes to kill, and Jesus comes to give life. He said, I want to give you life, mister. I want to give you life and life more abundantly. You may be here this morning and Satan's got a hold of you. You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants to tear you down, but Jesus says, you know what? I want to transform your life into something beautiful. Do you know he can do that? Man, I'm so glad he came into my life and transformed this. This man is a different man. As you read about him, he's not the same old man. He was living in tombs. He was cutting himself. He was naked. He was there. Wore no clothes. But Jesus Christ came into his life, commanded the demons to come out of him. Now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, we used to sing a song, and if you could hear this man today, I believe he'd be singing this song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have a light in my soul, he says, for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Now you're here this morning, you've been saved, you've been transformed. God has come into your life, he's changed your life. You can sing that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I've been changed. I've been reborn. Man, those songs do. This is what life in Christ will do. We know what Satan does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to wreck your life. He comes to lower your life. He comes to consume your life, destroy it. Jesus comes to transform your life. And we see this man is contented. He's found the people when they come to see him. He's not the same old man. He's not raving and like a lunatic. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's no longer restless, but he's now quiet and calm. You know why? Jesus says, my peace I give to you. There's something about Jesus Christ that brings peace in our life. You see, I've sat at the graveside of a mother who's lost her son, and I've seen how not trusting Jesus Christ will do. And that mother and that father and are them children, they're screaming and they're crying, and oh, there's no hope for their life. And then I sit at the graveside or at the side and preach where a family knows Christ, and even they've lost one of their precious children, they have a peace that passes all understanding. People say, how can they do that? It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus in their life. It's amazing what Jesus can do in our life. He can take a man who uses profanity and put praise in his life. I've seen that. Someone was telling me about a man the other day I grew up with, and I knew, and they said, Brother Booney, if you could just see this man now, you wouldn't believe it's the same old man. And I said, let me tell you something. He's not the same old man. Jesus Christ came into his life. He used to use profanity. He used to curse. But now he's in church praising. Only because Jesus Christ came into his life. John Newton, the writer of the song Amazing Grace, on his grave are the words, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, the servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, and pardoned, and appointed to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Oh, that he had long labored to destroy. That's what God can do in a person's life, folks. He can take a man and turn his life around. That's exactly what he wants to do in your life. Now, the third scene, verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged that he might be with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done. One of the evidences of a salvation, of a repentant heart, one of the great evidences of a man being saved is the desire to live for Jesus. Now let me ask you something. Do you have that desire to live for Jesus this morning? A certain man wanted to follow Jesus. You see, I wonder about people who don't want to live for Jesus. We say we love Jesus, but we don't want to follow him. That don't make sense, does it? If we love Jesus, think about this. If we love Jesus, we ought to serve Jesus. Amen. We ought to long to be with him. You know, I love my wife. Man, I tell you what, that's the best thing that ever happened to me besides Jesus coming into my life. And then my two kids, I just love those boys. But you know what? If I said I loved them and never wanted to be around them, never wanted to talk to them, would you believe it? I kind of doubt it. You see, if I say I love Jesus and I don't live for him, makes me wonder if I really love him. Amen. This man said, Lord, I want to follow you. The Lord said, no, I'll tell you what you do. You go to your home, your own house, and you tell them what great things God has done. Look at the instructions. Return to your own house. Jesus had a work for him to do. Let me tell you something. Jesus has a work for you to do right here in this church. It requires every one of us. This is not my church. This is God's church. And you are a member If you're a member of this church, then God has placed you here so that you might work in this church. One of our men told me this morning he's no longer going to be able to unlock the doors, and Brother Jim has done a wonderful job. And he asked me this morning, he said, would you look for someone to help me in case I can't keep doing it? I told our Sunday school class, I said, man, some people think that's not a very good job, but it's one of the most important jobs in this church. To have someone to come up here before everybody else, make sure the air conditioners are all on, the doors are all open, everything's ready to go for Sunday morning. The first to come and the last to leave will be Brother Jim. I want you to pray about it. I need someone that's just as faithful, you know. You got to be faithful. I preached one day, I don't even remember now, that a steward be found faithful. No, sorry about that. That's coming up. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. I knew I was getting ready, but I tell you what. You already know then. But let me tell you something. These people didn't want anything to do with Jesus. When those swine ran into the sea and drowned, they went into town, they told the people, and they wanted him out of their country, and he left. But he told the man, you go home, and you tell them what God has done. Look at verse 40, right where I left off. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, isn't that kind of strange? They run him off. But after this man and goes home and tells them what great things God has done for him, and they saw how he was, man, they saw such a great change, they wanted Jesus to come, and they welcomed him. Did you know that God could have commissioned the angels to tell about him and the glorious message, but he chose you and I. He chose man to deliver that message. The influence of a person for Jesus Christ, you will never know. I left my phone at home. Why I did that, I don't know. But I wrote out all the names on my notes. Telephones are not that great. I should have wrote them on this paper. I thought, well, I'll use the latest thing. I'll have them on my telephone. I left it alone. But let me tell you something. Here's what I wrote. God has done a wonderful thing in this church since 1985. We've had almost, or have had, 9 ministers come through here that's preaching the gospel somewhere today. Supported by this church, we have paid for the educations. We have helped them through school, and they've gone out to preach the gospel. We've had 2 foreign missionaries come from our midst and have gone to school, and they're out preaching the gospel. We've had numerous state missions going in our state. Most of you don't remember, but we helped Brother Glenn Clifton in the Palestine Coffee City Church. We started churches in Grand Junction, Colorado, with a young man in Reno, Nevada. And our students have gone to New York, and our mission trips went to New York and helped raise a church there, and South Dakota, Mexico, Haiti, the Philippines, China, Africa, Zambia, Kenya, Ethiopia. What great things God has done through the influence of First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City. That's the reason we exist, folks, to tell others about Jesus Christ. We don't want to be comfortable. We want to do a work for God. Now remember, when Jesus cast out the demons, they wanted him to leave their country. But now, in 40, they want him back. When Jesus returned, they were waiting for him. What a difference. You know what? I believe it's because of a transformed man, the demonic man. No one could deny what had happened in his life. And I believe he went just home, just like Jesus said. And I believe he told everyone about God. He had a peace about him instead of a torment. There's a song that we sing, "Let others see Jesus in you." You're here this morning. You're either controlled by Satan, and you're being tormented by him, the things in the world. He wants to drag your life down and ruin your life, ruin your children's life, ruin everything that you have. That's what he wants to do. But don't let him have that this morning in your life. Turn to Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Simply by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You believe he rose again. When he died, he nailed those sins of the world to that cross. He died in our place so that we wouldn't have to, that we could have eternal life. Now, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to say you're not going to have problems. Listen, I've got problems. Everybody has problems. Man, I've lost my brothers. I've lost my nephew. I've lost a lot of people in my family life. But it wasn't, I don't say it was God. I don't say, why did God do that? I like we said this morning, maybe we ought to blame it on the devil for a while. Because he brought this sin deal up. And he wants to destroy everything. But, you know, even though God took their life, or they died, and God let them die at an early age, they're still living. And I'm going to see them again. They're all right. We're still living down here below. Let others see Jesus in you. If you're here this morning and you're saved, then praise God. Be in prayer for that person next to you. They may not know Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a church home, let me enjoin you to invite you to come here. This is a great church. You've heard just a little bit about what it's done. Man, there's more than that. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, your word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts to the quick. Lord, if we felt the Spirit speaking to our heart, let us make the decision for you right now. Don't just stand there. Make a move. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.